Please open your Bibles to the book of Haggai. It's the third to the last book in the Old Testament. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And in your Scofield Bible, page 963. Second chapter, we'll be reading the first five verses. We'll read the verses responsively. The third verse being the text verse for this morning's message. Once again, Haggai's chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, page 963 in your Scofield Bible. Shall we stand, as is our custom to do so, for the reading of God's Word? In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And let's read together the fifth verse. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And let's pray. And Father, how good it is to be here. Thank you for our church. Thank you for those who come regularly. They're here, sunshine or rain. They're just here. And thank you for those who visit with us. Today we pray for thy blessing upon them, and we're praying that thou wouldst help us to unite our hearts in the common purpose of hearing thy word. How shall we hear without a preacher, the word says, and we thank you for our preacher. Bless him as he comes to us, and help us to listen carefully, that everyone here might know the purpose for which they're here today. And so bless with power this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to read for you just one other verse that we read, one verse read a while ago. You don't need to turn to it. You read it a while ago, but I want you to see the words. This is written by the prophet Haggai, and he was trying to encourage the people to recommence the building, the rebuilding of the temple. And he said, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? That was the first temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Now they're building another one. And he says, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? That's the title and the text, First Glory. How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? I'm not sure what the word glory means. So I'm preaching this morning something I know nothing about, which is not unusual for me at all. But I do not know exactly what the word, when the Bible talks about the glory of the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. There was a dear, godly black preacher in the South years ago who was praying. And he said, Dear Lord, give me the unction. Give me the unction. Give me the unction. And somebody heard him pray, and when he finished praying, they asked him, What is the unction? And the dear black preacher said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. That's sort of the way I feel about this thing of the glory, first glory. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure what it ain't. I hope you'll listen to me. Father, bless me as I speak. Our dear people and those who visit with us, as they hear, may we all today examine ourselves concerning our first glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In my sermon this morning, I'm going to save the introduction to the last. And then after the introduction, I usually keep on preaching, as you know. But I'm going to save the introduction to the last this morning and ask you to listen carefully and on purpose during the body of the sermon, which is first. The tabernacle was a temporary house of God. Turn me down just a tad, please. A temporary house of God. It was a tent, is what it was. An elaborate tent with elaborate furnishings. But nevertheless, it was a portable house of God that was given to Israel as they journeyed from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And because they were journeying, they had to pack up the house of God and carry it, and then stop and set it up again, and then pack it up again and carry it. And when they stopped, they'd set it up again. In the 25th chapter of Exodus through chapter 40, we have the detailed description of how God wanted this tabernacle to be built. In the 40th chapter and verse 34, the tabernacle is finished. And an amazing statement is made when they dedicated it. They put the little Ark of the Covenant, and I don't have time to go into what that was, but they put the Ark of the Covenant in there. And when the tabernacle was finished, it says in Exodus 40:34, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord, don't leave me now, filled the tabernacle. Nearly 500 years later, a permanent house of God was built to replace the temporary one. A stationary one replaced the portable one. It was called the temple. When the temple was finished, the materials were gathered by King David. The temple was finished by King Solomon. When the temple was finished, the Bible says the same thing that was said 500 years before about the tabernacle. It said, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Now bear in mind, 500 years between, and a totally different kind of a building. One a tent, and one a permanent, magnificent temple structure. And yet, the same glory that was in the one 500 years ago is in the one of Solomon. Solomon preaches his dedication sermon, and then he leads the dedicatory prayer. The Bible says, after he led the prayer, preached the sermon, led the prayer, once again in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1, it says, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then in Ezekiel chapters 43 and 44, we have the completion of the future temple. Out yonder, when Jesus comes back to the earth and establishes his kingdom and rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years. Don't leave me now. The Bible says when that temple is finished, at least 3,000 years from the second one, the tabernacle being finished about 1,500 B.C. and the temple being finished about 1,000 B.C., and we know it has to be 3,000 years because it's been 3,000 years since then. When Jesus comes again, and as we sang a while ago, I'd sure like for it to be this afternoon. But when he comes, I'd sure like for it to be this afternoon. And when he comes again in the clouds of glory, he's going to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore, where moon shall wax and wane no more. The Bible says during that kingdom age, there will be the rebuilding of the temple. Now, that's 3,000 years after the building of the first temple. And it says in Ezekiel 43 and verse 5, the glory of the Lord will fill the house. And in Ezekiel 44 and verse 4, it says the glory of the Lord will fill the house of the Lord. Now, you've got five times that statement is made, and only five times in the entire Bible. And the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The tabernacle, the temporary structure back yonder, 3,500 years ago, the temple, 500 years later, and again at the dedication and prayer, dedicatory prayer. Then out yonder, it says it twice concerning the millennial temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Now, again, let me say, that's 500 years between the first time, same glory, same power, same victory, same unction, if you please. Back yonder in 3,500 years ago and 500 years later and at least 3,000 years later, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, two sad statements, and I want you to follow this very carefully. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 21 says the glory is departed from Israel. That was when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines and taken to the Philistines' cities such as Gath and Ekron and Ashdod and so forth. And it says, and that's when the high priest Eli fell over backwards and broke his neck. That's when a baby named Ichabod was born, because Ichabod means the glory is departed. Let me tell you something, folks. The saddest day in the life of First Baptist Church of Hammond will be the day when it is said the glory is departed from the house of God. The glory is departed from the house of God. Now, again, a sad statement. And that is the post-captivity temple that was rebuilt. The one that rebuilt by Zerubbabel. And it is said, it is not said concerning that temple. There have been four houses of God built as tabernacle temple. Tabernacle, then the temple, then the rebuilt temple of Zerubbabel, and then the temple in the kingdom age. About the first house of God, the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. About the second house of God, which is the first temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. About the last house of God, which is the millennial temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. But how sad it is, in that third temple built after they returned from captivity, it is nothing is said about the glory of the Lord filling the house. Now, let me say this. I see this in churches all across America. I was contacted by a doctor. I think his name was Dr. Allen, who was on chairman of the pulpit committee at the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in Atlanta, Georgia. A great church. Lynn G. Broughton pastored that church years and years ago. Lynn G. Broughton was a little fellow, weighed 100 pounds. He pastored that. A great man of God. You heard me tell this, but I love to tell it. He weighed 100 pounds. He was a little bitty guy, and he had a debate one time with a fellow named Smith. And Leon G. Broughton was winning the debate, as all fundamental preachers do. And he was winning the debate. And Smith got flustered, and he said, "Why, you little runt, ought to chew you up and swallow you." And Leon G. Broughton stood up as high as he could stand and said, "If you chewed me up and swallowed me, you'd have more brains in your stomach than you do in your head." Leon G. Broughton pastored that great church in Atlanta, Georgia, Metropolitan Baptist Church. And Dr. Allen, I think it's Dr. Allen, some doctor, asked me to come. He wanted me to consider taking the church. I never considered, but I was down in Atlanta, Georgia, preaching, and he asked me at least come look at the building. And I went to look at that building. I guess the building must have seated 3,000 to 4,000 people. Had a great auditorium like we have here. Had a mezzanine, not as big as ours, but a mezzanine. And then an upper balcony, again, not as big as this, but a great, massive-looking structure. I asked Dr. Allen, "How many do you run on Sunday?" He said, 300. I said, "What happened?" "Well," he said, I can recall my friends telling me how this place used to be packed and jammed every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing sadder than for a house of God to lose its glory. Everybody in this room, I don't care if you're a pastor of this church, president of the college, staff member at the college, staff member at the schools, high school, grade school, elementary school, City Baptist School, on the staff here, a deacon here. Everybody in this room ought to guard the glory that has filled this place for these many long years. Thank God. Thank God. The old First Baptist Church of Hammond, well over 100 years old. Let's see, 1887, 109 years old this November. And the glory is still here. And the power is still here. And salvation is still here. And young men surrender to preach like they always did. And the blessings of God are still here. Why? Because the glory that filled this church years ago is still filling this church today. I see it. Not only do I see it in churches, I see it in preachers. I see it in preachers that go through the motion. There was a day when the power of God rested upon their ministry. There was a day when there was something electric about their preaching. There was a day when there was something powerful and pungent when they stood to preach the gospel. I hear them preach now. They go through the motions. Maybe age has come, or maybe prosperity has come, or maybe complacency has come, or they're tired of the battles, or they're tired of standards. I see them now that the church has lost its standards. They have no convictions anymore. Shaggy-haired deacons and pant-wearing, short-wearing staff member, lady staff members in the church. And I see these preachers with no conviction, no standard. They'll change the Bible from the old King James Bible to some of these modern satanic versions that have come out. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the saddest things I see is a preacher who once felt the breath of God and once felt the mighty power of God. All of a sudden, he's lost it. The glory has departed. I see it not only in churches and in preachers. Listen to me. But sad to say, I see it in lay people also. I see it in people who once were in the... I was this week. I was shopping, and I won't tell you where. I won't tell you where it was at all. A little lady was waiting on me. I think I was buying some cigarettes. I'm not sure what it was. But I A little lady was waiting on me. And I said to her, I said, "You look familiar to me." I said, "Do you go to our church?" Her eyes moistened and she said, "I used to. I used to." And I said, "How long has it been since you've been?" She said, "It's been a long time since I've been." And then with a teary eye, she said in quivering lips, "Those were the happiest days of my life. Those were the happiest days of my life." And ladies and gentlemen, the happiest day of your life is the day the glory of God is still there. I mean, there's something exciting about coming to church. I can see it. I can see it in your eyes. Brother, I can tell when a fella has lost his glory. He gets that starry look on his face and criticizes somebody that says amen. I can see it. Oh, let me tell you, lay people, you need your glory just like I need my glory. And you need your glory just like the church needs its glory. Several years ago, a person came to me and said, "Brother Hiles, somebody in the choir has lost his glory. He never smiles anymore. He's got that rebellious look on his face." And you can spot, I can tell you, brother, you ask any preacher, fundamental preacher, he can spot it. Look at Bob O'Clair. That's the way he looks right there. But you can spot it. I mean, there's that look, that disgruntled look, unhappy look. What is it? You've lost your glory. Ladies and gentlemen, keep the expectancy and the thrill and the excitement. Always love that book and always love to pray and always love to win souls to Christ and always love the things of God and always wait till Sunday with anxiety and joy. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Keep that thrill, that joy, that wonderful excitement, the glory, if you please. You said, "Brother Hiles, how can I get it back? I've lost it." And I'm some of you have lost it. The glory has departed. How can I get it back? It's easy. It's easy to get it back. Well, you say, "How?" Well, pay me and I'll tell you. How do I get it back? Because I know I've lost it. I've lost that thrill, excitement. I've lost the glory. Again, I don't know what it is, but I dead sure know what it ain't. All right? Suppose your fire goes out. What do? You put it next to something that's burning. I'm not very smart, but I know how to get the fire started again. If you want to get the fire started, you get it right up next to some fire. That's what you do. See, you get it back like you lost it. You lost it because you're running around with a bunch of people that didn't have the fire. Now, if you want it back, you get around a bunch of people that have the fire. You won't get it back in a church that's lost its fire. You won't get it back with a preacher that's lost his fire. You won't get it back hanging around a bunch of gossiping, critical Christians who lost their fire. If you want the glory back, find some people that have the glory and hang around the folks that have it. It's catching, brother. It's catching. I don't know what it is, but know what it ain't. And I can tell you when it ain't. And you can tell when it ain't. Now the introduction. This sermon all came, a statement made by a lady a few weeks ago in Arlington, Texas. A lady that used to go to Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, more than 40 years ago when I was pastor there. It all started there, and I'll get to her in a few moments, but I'll take it back to another thing. I was pastoring 47, 48 years ago, that little church building out yonder on the campus, Grange Hall Baptist Church, outside Marshall, Texas, in the country. A man named O.C. Pruitt came into the services. 43 years of age, a trainman at TNP Railway. I used an illustration about him and his family getting saved, and I won't go into that. But he walked in the church service, and he was a big, tall, abrupt kind of man, dignified-looking fellow. And he walked out the door, he said, almost angrily looking, he said, "Reverend," and I wrote down exactly what he said here, "there's a glory about you when you preach. There's a glory about you when you preach." Brother, let that be said to the last sermon I preach. Old Paul Burke comes by once in a while. Where's Paul? He's out fishing. Paul Burke comes by Sunday morning every once in a while and he says, "Preacher, you still got it. You still got it. You still got it. And brother, the day I lose it, I want to be like Eli of old. I want to drop over dead. I don't want to preach without the glory of God. I don't want to pastor a church without the glory of God. I don't want to give invitations." Listen, denominations all over America are dead. They've lost their glory. And churches are dead. They've lost their glory. We need the old-fashioned power of God to come in our churches again and the Holy Ghost of God to come in His fullness and let the glory of God fill the house of God. About 3 years ago,
I was preaching out. In fact, some folks are here from that church. Williams, what is that church? Williamstown, New Jersey. Brother Riddell, right? Pastor, that's preaching in your church. I used to think it was Omaha, but I got the cities mixed up. You know, Omaha and Williamstown sound an awful lot alike. Don't they? Don't they, Roy? Yes, sir. Don't they paid staff members? Yes, they did. I was preaching in your church. Finished preaching. A man, little upper middle age, came down. His hair was already turned white. He was prematurely gray. I mean, white-haired. And I guess he must have been, in his 50s. And he walked up and he said, "Brother Hiles, do you remember me?" I said, "Sir, I don't think I know you." He said, "I think you do." I said, "Sir, if I've met you, I've forgotten it because you don't look familiar to me." He said, "Does the name Johnny Mark Gray mean anything to you?" And I said, "Johnny Mark Gray? Are you Johnny Mark Gray?" And he said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Did you used to live out in the country outside Marshall, Texas on Highway 43? He said, "Yes, I do." He did. I said, "Your mom and dad, were they both heavyset people? They lived down close to the Grange Hall School?" He said, "That's right." "Your grandmother was named Mrs. Bryant?" How do you like that for a memory? "Mrs. Bryant?" I can't remember your name, but I remember. And I said, he said, "Yes, yes, it was." I said, "Johnny Mark Gray, nearly a half century ago, you were the first convert I ever had under my preaching. I can still see you, Johnny Mark, a seven-year-old boy walking down that center aisle in that same building out there on the campus." I said, "Johnny Mark, you come here and hug me." It was at your church. I said, "Come and hug me." And Johnny Mark Gray, now a man, in his 50s, by the way, came to pastor school and testified year before last. He said, "Brother Hiles, it's been a long time." He said, "I wouldn't have recognized you either if I'd seen you on the street." He said, "The years have changed us both." But he said, "While you were preaching a while ago," he said, "I shut my eyes. And I felt like I was sitting in the Grange Hall Baptist Church." He said, "You don't look like you used to." And he said, "You preach like you used to." And then he said, "As my eyes were shut, I felt the same glory that I felt almost a half a century ago." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what it is. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it ain't. And if in your life it ain't, then you get up to somebody that has it and stay with them and get with a crowd that has it and go to a church that has it and get with a preacher that has it and get out of that liberal church that doesn't believe that book and you get around somebody got the fire of God in their bones. And that's the way you catch it, just like you light a fire that's gone out. Now to Arlington, Texas. This is the cause of the sermon. I was preaching this month. Arlington, Texas. Bethel Baptist Church. After the service, folks were lined up to have me sign their Bibles and to howdy with me a while. And there came a lady up. And she said, "Brother," they used to call me as a kid preacher, "Brother Jack." Remember Brother Jack that called me? And folks that knew me when I was young still call me Brother Jack. Now that I'm old, they call me stuff I can't repeat from the platform. But she said, "Brother Jack." And she began to cry. She said, "You won me to Christ over 40 years ago. I was a young married lady. You won me and my husband both. We were members of your church at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas." She said, "I hadn't heard you preach in 40 years, nearly." She said, "You got the same glory. The same glory. The old tabernacle, young and rickety and a tent and temporary. The glory of God filled it. And the new beautiful temple built by King Solomon with its magnificence and splendor and glory, the glory of the Lord filled it. And the kingdom temple in the millennium, the glory of the Lord filled it." But how sad, that little temple in between, built by Zerubbabel. No mention about the glory of God. No mention about the Ark of the Covenant. The glory was gone. I mean what I'm going to say right now. This week was Vacation Bible School week. And my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over with joy. Vacation Bible School week. This week. And I cut up with the kids. My 49th consecutive vacation Bible school. 1948. Grange Hall Baptist Church had my first Bible school. I was Fuidini the magician. I actually performed tricks. Not like a stupid Fuidini we got now, wherever he is. But I actually performed gospel tricks. I was also Silly Billy, the ugliest boy in the world, and I didn't have to wear any false face. Middle-aged lady walked up to me in Bible school. She said, "Brother Hiles, I still feel like a little child." She said, "I can recall sitting in the beginner department over there throwing kisses at you, and you say, 'We love you. I love you, Ginners. I love you, Ginners.'" She said, "I still, when I see the devil walk out, somehow I think it's the real devil." And she said, "I get up and scream, 'That's the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil!'" And you say, no, the devil's not here." "Yes, he is!" And she said, "Brother Hiles, in vacation Bible school," and I'm quoting her now, she said, "It's just like it was when I was a beginner." She said, "You jump as high and run as hard and as fast. Of course, it hurts more to run than it used to. And I bought some stock in the liniment company." But she said, "It's just like it used to be." I want it, some of you choir members, your vacation Bible. How many of you ever were children in Bible school? Raise your hand, okay? I want, you weren't a child in vacation Bible school. You weren't a child when Jesus came. Well, there goes another good member. But I want the boys and girls that are in First Baptist Church of Hammond to have the same Brother Hiles that the kids had 35 years ago. I want them to have the same excitement, the same joy. But here's what I want more than that. I want to keep this old church with the glory of God filling the house of God as long as I live. And when a time comes, it'll be a few years, when I have to hand this Bible over to somebody else and someone else fills this pulpit, I want to look down from heaven and I want to see this building filled. And I want to see these aisles filled in the invitation time, this altar filled with people Sunday morning and Sunday night. May it be as long as we live, as long as this church stands, may it be the glory of the Lord fill the house of the Lord. At youth conference, I was standing up here at youth conference. When it all ended, I walked out the door and one of our young married couples, I've been conducting youth conference now for 11 or 12 years, I guess. Maybe longer, maybe 15. An old man like me conducting. And I walked out, and one of our people had married now, but I walked out and they raised the sign like that. I think that's a good sign. And she said, "Still got it. Still got it." She said, "You're just as good a youth speaker today as you were years ago." Let me be vain for a minute. And I shouldn't say it because I'm opening myself up for criticism. But I believe with all my heart, Brother Johnny, that heavenly dove is still on me. 70 years old in 2 months. Pastoring a half a century. I thank God today. When you see this invitation after a while, you'll still see people coming and you still feel conviction and the glory of God still fills the house of God. I asked you a question this morning. You know what it ain't? Do you know what it ain't? Other folks know if it ain't. Other people can tell if it ain't. I'm the same I always was. Ask other people to check that out. Do you know what it ain't? If I were here this morning and the glory had left my life, and you can sit out there and say, "I haven't left my life." That's the very way you look when it's gone. The same I always was. That's the way you look when it's gone. Are you excited right now? Can you not wait for the invitation? Most of you can't, because that means the preaching's over. Can you not wait for the invitation? Is there a holy expectancy when the choir walks out on Sunday morning? Is that book still a love story to you, God's love letter from heaven? Is prayer an opportunity for a conference with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is soul winning and talking about the Savior a still delight and joy? Still can't wait for Sunday morning. Still can't wait for the things of God. This morning, the glory has departed. And I'll guarantee you, all over this room, there are spots where somebody would have to say, I know what it ain't. I know what it ain't. I know what it ain't. An old story, you've heard it through the years, but I think I'll tell it now. One of my favorite stories. I was preaching in Durham, North Carolina. It's been 35 years ago. Durham, North Carolina. I was a young preacher then. Finished preaching that morning and sitting back in the back in a chair, leaning up against the wall in the back was an old man about almost 90 years of age, I found out. He had on a Hawaiian-type sports shirt. And the guy should have worn a coat with much padding. He was skinny as a rail. His arms looked like broomsticks sticking out of the sports shirt. He said, Dr. Hounds, could I say a few words? And I said, yes, you may. Dr. Hounds, I've been preaching over 60 years. I'm almost sure that's the number. Over 60 years. I got tired, old. I wanted to retire. But I couldn't because I didn't have any Social Security and no retirement. Had to keep on preaching. I kept on, and just a few months ago, I finally got a position where I could retire and rest the rest of my life. But he kept on talking. He said, Brother Hiles, sitting back here this morning while you were preaching, the fire of God started burning in my soul. He ran down the aisle and stood on the platform and looked at the people. Held his little arms up like that and said, I'm re-enlisting. I'm re-enlisting. The glory of God filled the tabernacle. The glory of God filled the temple. The glory of God will fill the millennial temple. But there's that right there. Ask a question. Which one are you? Huh? Are you that new Christian still has his glory like the tabernacle that was temporary? It's all new to you. You just got here. You just got saved, maybe. And it's all new and fresh. But the glory of God, that expectancy, that holy expectancy is on your face. And that zeal of God is in your soul. Are you the one that's been saved a long time, but you haven't lost it yet like that new... You live in a nicer house now. You drive a nicer car. You wear nicer clothes. But is the glory of God there? Be better if you just gave your car away and gave your house away and wore the old clothes you used to wear and get the glory back. Are you that temple, post-captivity temple? We'll have to say today, oh God, give me the unction. Oh God, give me the unction. And somebody says, what's the unction? And you say, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. Don't miss a service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't fellowship with anybody that doesn't have the fire of God in their soul. Hang around God's people who had the glory still on them. And brother, one of these days, it'll catch on. It'll catch on. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving. No one is moving. I'm going to close my eyes right now so I won't see your lifted hand. I don't want to know who raises a hand now. Please do not take advantage of me while my eyes are closed and be so rude to walk out. What an awful thing to do. My eyes are closed. Only you and God will know unless somebody breaks our trust. I wonder who would say this morning, preacher, I know what it ain't. I know what it ain't. I've lost the glory. I want to go back to my first glory. My first glory. I've lost it. I want it back.